This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We've went and talked a whole lot of different things here tonight, here on Overtime. Brent talked a little bit of Commanders. We talked a little bit about the Nats. Talked a little bit about the Wizards. Big thank you to Bijan Todd for joining us. What I want to shift my thoughts towards now is the NFL draft. I think, first of all, the narrative surrounding this draft have irritated me ever since the beginning of the process. This idea of it being a weak class, a down class, and the way the quarterbacks are being evaluated. And I think as we get closer towards April's draft, I think the thought process is going to change because Miami's going to have their pro day. Cam Ward's going to throw. Colorado's going to have its pro day. Shedeur Sanders is going to throw. And there is this thought amongst some draft folks that neither of those two guys, talking about Shedeur and Cam, there's this thought process that neither of those two guys are franchise-changing guys, that there are questions about whether they can be a franchise quarterback. I strongly believe both Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders will be top 12 to 15 quarterbacks in the NFL. I think that, like, that is how good they could ultimately be. Maybe it's a situation where they're top 11 to 14 guys, top 10 to 12 guys. I think they both got hella upside. But we know how this goes in the NFL when it comes to these young quarterbacks. I think the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, it's about fit. It's about fit. Like, that's what it's about. It's about fit. And I feel like with Shedeur and Cam, the fit for those two at the top of the draft is interesting. So some folks, I'm seeing it more and more today, have Cam and Shedeur going 1 and 2 overall, 1 overall to Tennessee, 2 overall to Cleveland. Now, I think the Titans would be an interesting fit for Cam Ward because I like Brian Callahan. I think Brian Callahan has shown with Joe Burrow that, yeah, and Burrow was a badass. So it's, I guess it's an easier development. But I think with Cam, I can see Coach Callahan working out an offense for him to where he can have success. And I look at Tennessee and what they did this offseason, bringing in Dan Moore from Pittsburgh, although it's an overpay, they did bring him in. They bring in Kevin Zeitler. So their offensive line has gotten better. And I like the guys that they have up front. The running back tandem of Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, I think is interesting. A lot of folks think that it's a foregone conclusion they're going to go Abdul Carter. What are they going to do at quarterback if they go with Abdul Carter? That's my question that I have. Because this Titans roster is not horrible. They've got some guys here that I think can make an impact. But the quarterback, obviously, is who puts it all together. They need to find an answer at quarterback. Like, that, to me, is the issue here. So I think Shador and Cam go 1-2 overall. Whether the Titans stick and pick is another thing. The Browns, in terms of fit, I think is a great fit for Shador because of what Kevin Stefanski is going to ask him to do because of who they have on their team. We'll see ultimately how successful both of those two guys are at the next level. But I think both Cleveland and Tennessee would be crazy to walk away from this draft without a developmental guy at the quarterback position. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I want to look at the best free agent acquisition of this offseason. Give you my thoughts on that next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot has been made about NFL free agency and what move was the best, what move was the worst, the trades that happened. I think this NFL free agency was different than the ones we've seen in the past because the free agent class sucked. And it was a terrible crop of free agents. It absolutely was. And it feels like, to me, the best move that happened this offseason probably wasn't a free agent signing, but a trade. A couple of different things that I look at here. I think Washington's trade for Laremy Tunsil has got to be right towards the top in terms of impactful moves to acquire talent. Like, that's got to be right at the top because of how good of a player he is. The other top trade that I really loved was the Raiders getting Geno Smith. Pete Carroll and Geno are going to have the Raiders competitive next year. I fully believe that. They've been a team that's been missing a quarterback, and I think the roster around the quarterback ain't bad at all. Right? You got your star tight end, Brock Bowers, in which you can build this passing offense around. Last year, Jacoby Myers had a 1,000-yard season and really put up some big-time numbers, which was clearly the best of his career. Love what they got from him. So they brought in Raheem Mostert at running back. All of a sudden, like, the Raiders' offense, which was clearly the weak point of that football team, they're getting better. I love Colton Miller at left tackle, one of the better tackles in football. Jackson Powers Johnson in the middle at center. They brought in Alex Kappa to compete at guard. Like, it's going to be interesting. And we know what they got on defense. Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins, Malcolm Kuntz coming back. They got Tyree Wilson. They got a trio of edge rushers. You add Charles Snowden to that mix as well. Like, they've got some dudes. And then they add our old friend Jeremy Chinn to the back half of their defense. So they are an improving group. I'm curious to see how much better they are next year. You were 4-13 a season ago. Talking about Vegas. Pete Carroll has the opportunity to have a Dan Quinn-like impact on the Las Vegas Raiders. And I fully expect him to have one of the best culture guys in football. People absolutely love this guy. They want to run through a wall for him. Now, I think them hiring him was not their first choice. I know they wanted Ben Johnson. But, man, you think about what the Raiders already have, right? And we just listed some of the pieces they have. And then you insert somebody at pick number 6 overall, because they've got the 6th overall pick in the draft. They got a real opportunity to get a lot better. And if I'm the Raiders, if I'm being real, I don't think I can sit there and stick and pick at number 6. I think it should be about acquiring as much talent as possible throughout the draft, because they added old John Spytek to be their general manager from Tampa, and we know how well the Bucs have drafted over the past several years. So I think the Raiders have a really interesting opportunity to get better fast. The mock draft from Joel Klatt has them taking Mason Graham out of Michigan, number 6 overall. I just think it's a redundancy at the position. PFF has them taking T-Mac from Arizona. He ran 4.5 today. I think that solidifies him as the obvious quarterback one in this, wide receiver one rather, in this class. But, like, whatever way they decided to go, maybe it's Travis Hunter that slides to him. Who knows? They got a really good opportunity, though, I think, to add a good football player in the draft, or add several good football players via the draft. CBS Sports and Mike Renner has them going with Ashton Jeanty. So that would be interesting. Just adding as many weapons as possible. They can go edge. I mean, they can go tackle with Armon Membu from Missouri. I think they can add another pass rusher to go opposite of Max Crosby. It'll be interesting to see how they go. Offensive tackle, like I said, could be a thing. I know they don't go tight end. Maybe they go corner. Maybe they go corner with Will Johnson at number 6 overall. If they have Travis Hunter fall to them, though, I believe that will be the pick. I guarantee that that will be the pick. But we'll see ultimately what happens. We'll take a quick timeout. More overtime next on The Fan. It's overtime here on The Fan. Lino Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock. Our pal Tyler Dunn from GoLongTD.com getting geared up to join us here momentarily. We'll go around the NFL with him. I was saying it before we went to break, though, man. Big, big fan of what the Vegas Raiders did going out and acquiring Geno Smith. I think with their number 6 overall pick in the draft, some people have mocked Ashton Jeanty there. I don't think that's where they will go. I would have to think you want to do whatever you can to improve the protection up front for Geno. But the other thing you could do is go corner. And I think their secondary and their defense as a whole, not a bad group, but definitely think they can upgrade there. When I look at like what team in the NFL is going to make that meteoric rise similarly to Washington, I think Vegas is definitely a prime contender. The team that I really think is the most likely to do it, though, ironically enough, is New England. The other team that has a young quarterback and a first-year head coach. I think the Patriots, as active as they were this offseason, knowing what type of culture guy that Mike Vrabel is, I think they have a real legit opportunity to take a massive step forward next year. Like, I really do feel that way. I don't know, man. I'm not sure that next year New England's not the second best team in that division. Hell, I'm not sure if they don't overtake Buffalo. Like, that's the type of rise they could have next year.
Wow. Going from, they got the MVP in that division
now. I think New England has a legitimate, I think of the teams in the NFL, I just thought of a topic for tomorrow night too, who's got the best chance to go from worst to first in the NFL, I think New England's got to be right up there. They overhauled their roster significantly, man, brought in a lot of new pieces, and I'm a huge fan of their head coach, man. And the quarterback is a monster. That's my whole thing, man. Ah. They're one of my sleeper teams for next year. I know who's not going worse to first. The New York Giants. Hot damn. what a terrible excuse for an NFL organization.
I wish I could be as bad as their GM and keep my job. Make that much money.
I wish I could be as bad as my job as their guys are at their job as they employ.
Yeah, I made that kind of money.
To do nothing. All they did was ruin in off-season Hard Knocks for us because that idiot Joe Shane. I'm annoyed. I know that they're not going worse to first. We'll ask our guy Tyler Dunn, who's got the best chance to go from worst to first. He joins us from GoLongTD.com. That is next, right here on The Fan. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Want to go out to the guest hotline where we find one of the absolute best talking all things National Football League, our pal Tyler Dunn, the founder of GoLongTD.com. If you're looking for the scoop, if you're trying to get personal with some of your favorite players and stories throughout the NFL, make sure you go to GoLongTD.com and check out Tyler's work. Ty Guy, my brother, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing great. Impeccable timing. Both kids down for the naps. What else could you ask for?
It's
a beautiful thing. So we can talk loudly in another room about all this nonsense going on in NFL free agency. So I appreciate you.
Hey, man. Look, always love catching up with you, my friend. I love reading your work. I told you when I had you on in D.C. during the regular season of football, I said, man, the story you did on Sean McDermott and the Bills – a season and a half ago, two seasons ago, still some of my favorite work from you and some of the insight that you were able to get, man. You are damn good at what you do. It's why we wanted to have you on, man. Put your hat on right now, your GM hat on right now, so to speak. And let's just say you are the Minnesota Vikings and you're Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. Are you in a rush to get the J.J. McCarthy era started? Or should they be in on a veteran like Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, my goodness. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, Kevin O'Connell, the Wolf. I mean, everybody running this team, I cannot see just welcoming in a 41, 42-year-old quarterback who just burnt the Jets to the ground. And look, we can make love to statistics all we want and try to talk ourselves into Aaron Rodgers squeezing out one more good year here. We all saw it. We all witnessed it. It was ugly. And even if you just keep it to the football, like if we don't get into all the other BS off the field, strictly football, what made him special, the improvisational stuff, the freestyling outside of the pocket, you know, he gets his head coach fired. He makes them acquire Davante Adams. They move mountains and nothing really changed. You could never recapture that. You saw the end in Green Bay. I mean, that last season with the Packers, when they lost at Lambeau to the Lions in the finale, he wasn't the same quarterback then. So you're talking 3 years now, three full seasons removed from his MVP, you know, still top 10 quarterback days. I would be absolutely shocked if the Vikings somehow added him to that locker room. I mean, this is, the vibes are good in Minnesota, man. Like,
yes,
they've got an unbelievable culture. They've top to bottom, this roster's loaded. One of the best defensive minds in the sport, one of the best offensive minds in the sport, the best non-quarterback, arguably, in the sport. I don't understand why you deviate from your J.J. McCarthy plan at this point.
So let me play devil's advocate here for a second, Ty, because I've actually spent the entirety of the show to this point defending this move and why I think it would work out for Minnesota. But I hear everything that you're saying. I'll ask you this before we'll stick on this for a second here. Do you think, and I guess I know your answer to this based on your last response, but I'll ask anyway. Do you think us as media folks and talking heads are letting our personal feelings about Aaron Rodgers, the person, color how we view him as a quarterback? Because I can make the argument, Tyler, everything in New York last year stunk. It's Rodgers' fault that the defense fell off a cliff. It's Rodgers' fault that the running game couldn't get going. It's Rodgers' fault that they couldn't protect him. I get that clearly some of the things that made him special, right, Tyler, the improvisation, the mobility, like that it was zapped with the Achilles surgery. Now, to his credit, only being a year removed from that, we saw the type of impact it had on Cousins in Atlanta. Who says 2 years removed from it, you don't see more of the old Rodgers? My thought process for the Vikings, though, Tyler, is like, you're right there. You won 14 games last year. How can you look your veterans in the face on this team and go, yeah, we're trying to be as good as we can in 2025, but we're going to go with an unproven commodity at quarterback after winning 14 games with a Jag? Now, they got the most out of Sam Darnold, and it was, 35 touchdowns, 11 picks. You think they can get that out of J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I think so. I tell you what, they were psyched about everything J.J. McCarthy before his injury, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, before he has a meniscus, before he goes down. You listen to Kevin O'Connell talk. I mean, he referred to him as the answer long-term in so many words. He was devastated when he went down with that injury. It's hard to read into too much in May, mm-hmm. June, July, but that, whatever it is, month and a half after minicamp, before training camp, holy hell, it's talking to players on that roster. I just talked to, let's just say, a defensive mainstay. He's been there a while. Mm-hmm. He was blown away by the improvements that J.J. McCarthy just made in that month and a half that you're away from the team, or most guys are away from the team. And he stayed in town. He worked on his fundamentals, his mechanics. And I was kind of a skeptic when it came to J.J. McCarthy out of college. I didn't really watch him a hell of a lot. And I'm just kind of throwing him in that bucket of Ken Dorsey's and Chris Winkies and all these highly successful quarterbacks. Sure. Like, who cares if he won a lot of games? He's handing the ball off. I think that they really believed in him when he went down, and then Sam Darnold forced them to make a difficult decision. I mean, he plays out of his mind, 4,000 yards, 35 touchdowns, and then he turns into a pumpkin those last two games. So I get your logic, honestly. Like, you throw Aaron Rodgers in there. It's hard to see Aaron Rodgers failing when you've got the weapons they have, when Kevin O'Connell is layering passing concepts unlike anybody in the sport. I mean, he is the greatest offensive mind, really. He's coach of the year. So I don't think Rodgers would just, like, fall flat on his face if he was the quarterback of the Vikings. But I just – what does that do to J.J. McCarthy? Like, are you throwing a wrench into his development, his career, your belief in him, by bringing in Aaron Rodgers? Probably, to an extent. I mean, it's probably going to piss him off. Yeah. When you don't really need to. Yeah, I think they could. I think they could win with J.J. McCarthy. Look, your Commanders. Well, they just went to the NFC Championship game with Jane Daniels. I mean, C.J. Stroud. Go right down the list. You see Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow before that. Quarterbacks in the first and second year. It's not crazy for them to get to a conference title game, get to a Super Bowl. I wouldn't be shocked one bit if the Vikings got to a Super Bowl with J.J. McCarthy and won it.
I just think, and I hear you, obviously, with – you know, the Jaden Daniels success and the young quarterbacks over the past couple of years, Stroud. I just look at both of those two guys we just named. much more decorated collegiate quarterbacks than McCarthy was. Much more physically gifted than McCarthy was. Here's the thing that's got me kind of, I guess, sleeping on JJ is some of the reports we heard coming out of Minnesota, Tyler, after he had the cleanup surgery with the infection that he got and not being able to put on weight, not being able to work out. How much does that ultimately impact him, and how much was his growth actually stunted? How far along is he going to be come week one of the regular season is my big question. He's still a very unproven commodity to me, despite, you know, what teammates are saying and how he looked in that short time before the injury.
And there's definitely – that's a variable that I wish we knew all the details to his recovery and his health. Yes. And who knows? Maybe they are flirting. I mean, where there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire, and it'd be really easy for the Vikings to bring Kevin O'Connell, J.J. McCarthy to the podium, to a press conference, and tell the world to shut the hell up. Like, this is our quarterback. So, like, there's something to this.
Sure.
Right? Like, they've got to be interested to a degree. Now, is it like, are they just like lounging on the couch, you know, swiping away on Tinder with Aaron Rodgers and it's nothing serious? That's kind of what I think it is. I'd be shocked if they genuinely were making a push for Aaron Rodgers right now, because I think that this has been a plan for J.J. McCarthy. They've been on the serious dates. They've taken the vacations. They want to take this thing to the next level. And, yeah, is there another factor we don't know about? Maybe. I guess I got to be open to that. But I think what it kind of comes down to with J.J. McCarthy as well, and that player that I referenced earlier when we got into this all, we talked a lot about the it factor. And this story is that go along if people want to see it. The headline is, finally the Minnesota Vikings will swing big. Like, we're talking a lot about the it factor. And this player admitted, like, there are quarterbacks who have it and quarterbacks who don't. And he's like, I don't even know how to describe it. But if you get in that fourth quarter, you're in that crunch time moment, and either you rise up and deliver, you relish that moment, or for whatever reason, you don't. And he was hesitant because at that point, nobody really knew who the quarterback for the Vikings was going to be. And I think that this guy likes Darnold a lot. But he said, like, in so many words, that McCarthy, like, it sure looks like he has it. Like, he's crazy enough to believe he can get this team to a Super Bowl. He's crazy enough to believe he can be an all-time great. Like, this guy's mentally wired the right way. He went through a lot at Michigan. He was really open about everything he went through mentally. I mean, we see him meditating at the goalpost. All of that stuff, I just feel like he'll be able to handle that pressure of walking into a dream scenario for a quarterback and delivering. Look, you don't know what you don't know. We haven't really seen this guy play a snap in a meaningful game. I get it. But it's time the Vikings kind of took that swing. They've been kind of rationalizing good in the absence of great for a while. If you think about all the time they wasted with Kirk Cousins, all the money they paid him. It's been a long time, really since Brett Favre in 2009, that they had a quarterback who could get you to a Super Bowl. Like, realistically, I feel like you got to take that swing. I don't think Aaron Rodgers at this point of his career is going to do it.
Yeah, to your point, Case Keenum, we saw him in Minnesota get them to, you know, them get absolutely the most out of him. So I agree, you want to go with the young guy that you believe in. It's going to be interesting to see, though, what ultimately happens there in Minnesota. I think they're a good football team. Love their additions on the interior of both the offensive line and defensive line. I think they got a lot tougher this offseason. Joined right now by our guy Tyler Dunn, the founder of GoLongTD.com. Plenty of good stories across the NFL on that website. Make sure you check in with our guy Tyler. I got a hot take for you. Maybe it's not so hot once I rationalize it here. I think the New England Patriots are going to be this year's Washington Commanders. I think the New England Patriots and what they have done from a culture standpoint, we know what Mike Vrabel brings to the table, right? You get in line or you get lost with him. I look at, one, I'm a huge Drake May guy. I think he is just oozing with talent. Obviously, they lack a little bit at the skill position spot, specifically at receiver and tight end, but I just think he's the type of quarterback that elevates everyone around him. That defense, though, adding Carlton Davis to the mix, paying Milton Williams, we'll see if he actually lives up to the contract, bringing Harold Landry to reunite with Mike Vrabel. How do you see it playing out there in Foxborough next year? And am I crazy for thinking that they can take a sizable leap in year two of Drake May?
Oh, man, if we don't agree on Aaron Rodgers, I think we are 100% in agreement here on those New England Patriots. And You may be taking it a step further than me. I don't know if they'll be in the AFC Championship game like those Commanders were in the NFC title game. The AFC is just
cutthroat, man.
But man, loaded, they could make the playoffs. They're probably the next best team in the AFC East next to Buffalo. And for all the reasons you just laid out, like Mike Vrabel's imprint is all over this team already. And like they were flush with cash. They had so much money to spend. They didn't know what to do with it. And it wasn't an ideal year to have all that money in free agency. Right? If you've got money to spend, it's probably because you weren't, you know, drafting worth a damn and you didn't have you guys were in your house worth paying. And that's kind of what Bill Belichick left the Patriots with. You know, he's too busy running around chasing women a third of his age to really draft anybody good, I suppose. So, Belichick leaves his team in ruins. Elliott Wolf takes over. Now Mike Vrabel's the head coach. Ryan Cowden's there. They got some direction. They just find surly players, snarling players, for the, you know, to use an old scouting term. They found some pricks. Like you need some angry players in an angry, violent game. I feel like they got those guys. Like Milton Williams is a butt kicker. We all saw it. And yeah, Jalen Carter had an effect. He helped him out. Sure, Fletcher Cox did before him. But you've got to take a swing. You've got to take that $104 million swing when you've got this much money. Because if you hit, there's just not many players who are 6'3", 290, with that kind of hostility. I mean, we saw it against Mahomes. You hit, you've got a rare, rare specimen. Love Carlton Davis. We've sat down for a story in the past. I mean, this guy, back to playing youth football in South Florida. I mean, he had all these crazy stories like, you know, people are gambling thousands of dollars on their games. He's like 8, 9 years old. And there's this, like, shootout.
Oh, youth ball, yeah.
He's running for his life. You know that life down there. It's crazy. And he is a hardcore player in a hardcore game, and he is still a rare specimen in his own right. How many guys on that boundary will get in your face and play man-to-man? Like, he'll give up some plays. He'll get flagged. But you want somebody going down swinging. Love that signing. Robert Spillane, all Max Crosby said, is that the best linebacker he ever played with in his life?
Yeah.
You know, Harold Landry, we'll see. You know, there's some familiarity there from the Titans days. He's got a lot of sacks, so that's got to mean something. You know, that's worth the swing. Morgan Moses, same deal. Offensive tackle, if you hit, I get it. He's older, but there aren't many players built like him in the league. I love what they did. You still need a receiver, but it reminds me of the Bills with Josh Allen here in Buffalo, where year one, they kind of tore the roster down to the studs. They're picking up receivers like Isaiah McKenzie, Robert Foster, guys on the waiver wire just to get through a season. And then there's some hope in Josh Allen. Like, they didn't win a lot of games in year one with him, but it was enough out of that position for them to sign a Cole Beasley, sign a John Brown, and then by year three, a Stephon Diggs is willing to go to Buffalo via trade. So once Drake May keeps showing he's the real deal, and that he could win a championship one day, then you can convince some of these wide receivers to go to Foxborough, Massachusetts, where the taxes are high and the weather's not that great. I think they'll get to that point where they'll find that missing piece. Right now, Chris Godwin took $20 million less to stay in Tampa.
Which,
I mean,
that
hurts. But I think they'll find a receiver at some point once Drake May keeps doing his thing.
I totally agree with you. Cut deep there with the Robert Foster pull, brother. Wow. That took me back a little bit, for sure. I want to go to the NFC West here for a second. Last time I was on the Infinity Sports Network, I said, man, the Niners are going nowhere fast. They're about to make a decision. They're gutting their roster. This is what it looks like to me. They're gutting their roster to gear up to pay Brock Purdy close to top of the market quarterback money. I don't think he's that type of guy that elevates others around him. Do you think this is a situation where, you know, Jed York is kind of closing up the checkbook and telling Kyle and John to go deal with what you got? I don't see them being there much longer. I think they've gotten significantly worse after being the bullies of the NFC for the past 4 to 5 years. The Eagles have kind of taken that crown. What do you think happens next in San Francisco, and how viable of a threat are they in an NFC?
Yeah, this is a team just descending, heading the wrong direction in so many different ways. They look like a dying fish last year. I'm thinking of that Green Bay game. I mean, lifeless. That Buffalo game in the snow globe, lifeless. Just they're losing good players, and they don't have the money to replace those good players because of what you just said. Like, I guess they're gearing up to give Brock Purdy, what, $60 million a year, $55 million a year? That, I mean, Josh Allen took a little less.
There's no way.
I don't know how Brock Purdy can.
I don't see it.
I don't. Whatever it is, it's going to be a lot. And all their actions kind of lend you to believe that this is what they're going to do. I think kind of what's rotted this organization from within is that indecisiveness and what in the hell we do at quarterback. Like, Kyle Shanahan is a modern-day Don Coryell. He changed the game schematically, drove it in a new direction. He is the one inventing new concepts that other coaches are copying. Like, you can't take that away from him. He's taken two teams to a Super Bowl. He's done a lot of good stuff, but he doesn't really know what he wants out of the quarterback position. Like, he has the Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, he actually starts with what Brian Hoyer, and then they make the trade for Garoppolo, and it's like, okay, we'll put the play in his head, tell him where to throw the ball, and we want the robot, right? We want somebody who's going to know exactly where to throw it, where we tell him to throw it. And I think it was like a Monday night game. They get blasted by the Bills and whatever it was, 2020. And it's like Shanahan had this epiphany. I need to get my own freak show at quarterback. So they make the crazy trade for Trey Lance, who is a complete unknown, had one good season at North Dakota State. That doesn't work out. They kind of go back to Garoppolo. They go to Brock Purdy with the injuries, and it's like back to the robot. Like back to, we just want somebody who can process quickly and throw or we tell them to throw. And I guess that's where they're at. And now you're going to pay that guy a lot of money, and you're not going to be able to surround him with those weapons, those players who can get open on those plays you're designing. It just looks like it's going to be a slow, painful death. Like, they're not going to be terrible, but you're probably looking at 8-9, 9-8. Hovering around that 44% club of teams that make the playoffs, and eventually everybody will leave. I don't see how they launch into contention anytime soon.
We'll talk about this a little bit later on in the show, but man, am I crazy for making this comp? It kind of feels like Kyle Shanahan is like the modern day Andy Reid, where he's going to have to go to his Kansas City. Maybe it is Kansas City, Tyler, where he goes. And tries to take the enter the next phase of his career there, because as you mentioned, modern day offensive whiz kid, man, like he has been so influential to what other teams are doing in the NFL, and the money situation and the inability to find the quarterback in San Francisco may lead him to go somewhere else. I'll let you go on this, my friend. When you look in the AFC South at the Houston Texans and what they are doing, do you think their decision to gut this offensive line, will it hurt them in 2025? And then do we begin to get antsy about the Texans?
Ooh, I like a little Texans talk, the forgotten team. Hell, I mean, they had the Chiefs on the ropes. You know, they get a call, you know, here or there. They're in that conference championship game. I don't really know, because, yeah, it looks bad. I mean, to just gut your offensive line. But their offensive line really wasn't that great last year anyways. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I want to say they were in the bottom of most anything you'd look at in terms of pressures allowed, sacks allowed. C.J. Stroud wasn't good in year two. I mean, Bryce Young outplayed him, and it wasn't close. But, man, that line let him down. He didn't have time, and they're without Nico Collins for a stretch, and Tank Dell has another crushing injury. Stephon Diggs is lost to a knee. There was a lot going around C.J. Stroud. So I don't know how bad it's going to be. I mean, I feel like they'll actually improve in a weird way. Something's got to change schematically. I love Bobby Slowick, that Stroud's rookie year. It seemed like from that Shanahan tree, I mean, he had answers for him all over the field. Mm-hmm. But maybe a fresh direction helps. Maybe some new players on the line help. I'm not out on the tech. I think D'Amico Ryan's one of the best coaches in football. I mean, this guy just gets it. Yeah. Guys want to run through a wall for him. He knows, like, that Mike Tomlin school of thought where, yeah, you're holding guys accountable. You're hard on guys. You'll call out guys, but still love them up. It just seems like he's got it. He's got something special to him. So I trust that the Texans will be right there. I mean, it's a bad division. I mean, the Colts are going nowhere fast. The Jags are just – talking about gutting the roster. Holy hell. And the Titans are—they got the number one pick, so the Texans should win the division, and they'll probably be back in that divisional game. And you know, maybe next time you just gently bring Patrick Mahomes to the turf. You don't actually tackle him.
Well put, my friend. I appreciate you making some time for us on a Sunday, my man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, brother. We'll do it again soon.
Hey, any day, any time. Always love catching up, man. Thanks for having me.
That's going to do it here for this Monday night edition of Overtime. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Big thank you to you all on the phones. Big thank you to our guy Tyler Dunn. Big thank you to Bijan Todd. Big thank you to Metal Chris behind the glass as well. Have a good night, everyone.